Amen. Isn't God good?
Amen.
It is good to have our brother back in church. Amen. We missed you, brother. Praise God. We miss the brothers and sisters when they're not here in church. Amen. That's true. We need each other. Praise the Lord. I'm glad I've got something better than gold tonight. Hallelujah. I am glad that I'm able to be known as a child of God.
Yes, amen.
He is my God.
Yes.
There is none other but Jesus Christ.
Right.
He is good to us.
Yes.
I've had a good day today in the Lord. The Lord has been with me all day, even though I've been worked hard all day, and that's good. We're to work and to labor with our hands and do the work that we're supposed to do.
Amen.
God is with us. I was at one place today, and the Lord brought in a person that works for Michael's work. He was driving a truck from Saya. That's the company he works for, and he was a young black man. I was hoping he'd be here tonight. He said if he could get off from work, he would be here at church. Michael's been witnessing to him, and he didn't know me. And I told him he was asking for some directions on what to do and where to go for deliveries. And I told him, and then I said, you tell Michael, make sure he walks right. He kind of looks at me. He says, what? Yeah. I said, I'm his dad. He goes, I said, the guy with the long beard, Michael at work. He goes, yes, that's a good Christian man. Praise God. It's good to hear a good testimony from others outside. You know, I know he's my son, but from others outside testifying of your Christian walk. And I thank God for that. And I told him, I said, well, look, I said, if you get a chance, come tonight. I said, I'll be preaching. I said, our pastor's gone away right now, but I'm filling in for him. Just come. We can enjoy the presence of the Lord together. He said, if I get off, I'll be there. So I guess he couldn't get off, but God is good, church. God is good. We're able to go out and to share and to be where God places us and puts us. He is there. I want tonight to look. I'll try not to be real lengthy tonight. I know everybody's worked hard and tired, but just stay with me. I really want to share some things tonight that maybe will encourage us and help us in our walk with God. I want to look tonight talking about faith and looking at how faith in action. If I have a title for it, that's what it would be tonight. Faith in action. We are God's children who have been saved, praise the Lord, sanctified, filled with the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. God has called us out from darkness into His marvelous light.
Yes.
That we can bring forth good fruits for Jesus Christ. To magnify God, to bless our God. And this walk that we walk today and every day that we get up and move is by faith. In Christ. We can do nothing outside of faith. We all know that tonight. Just as James declares in the scriptures, as the body is without the spirit is dead, so faith is without works is dead. Being alone. We need to have faith and works together. Or I call it faith and actions together. So that others may know and come to know the love of God that has been shed abroad in our hearts tonight. I'd like you, if you would, this evening, if you would, just stand with me for the reading of God's Word. Turn to 1 Samuel chapter 14. I hope tonight to be able to share with you maybe four instances in Scripture that shows men of faith, men that have fortitude and action within their lives that really bring out their faith. And with God's help, that's what I hope to do tonight. And the first one we will look at this evening is a man by the name of Jonathan. Of course, Jonathan was the son of Saul, King Saul. And we're going to look at him because he does something that is incredible to me. And he shows his faith in God. He shows his faith in God. So if you would read, just follow with me. Chapter 14, verse 1 says, "Now it came to pass upon a day that Jonathan, the son of Saul, said unto the young man that bare his armor, Come." Let me stop there just for a second. Come. He calls out to this armor bearer, "Come," I like this, "and let us go over to the Philistine garrison that is on the other side." But he told not his father. Down to verse 6. And Jonathan said to the young man that bare his armor, come, let us go over unto the garrison of these uncircumcised. It may be that the Lord will work for us. For there is no restraint to the Lord to save by many or by few. Can you say amen to God's word? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I ask tonight, God, for your leading, your direction, your anointing of the Holy Ghost tonight, God. For Lord, I can say nothing and do nothing unless you equip me, unless you pour out your spirit within my heart and life tonight, God. For I want to please you in all things that are said this evening, dear Lord. To lift up the body of Christ, dear God, and to encourage us to go by faith, oh God, and by action in our lives, that we can accomplish the very work of God that you have want us to accomplish. Strengthen us this night, God, and fulfill your will in our lives. In Jesus Christ's name we ask it this evening. Hallelujah. Amen. You may be seated. Praise God. It's a wonderful story. I know most, I'm sure everybody here has read the story where Jonathan with his armor bearer will attack the Philistine garrison. And it's amazing because if you go back to chapter 13 just for a second, you'll find in verse 19 that they didn't have much to fight with. The armies of Israel did not have much. Saul at the time and his men did not have much weapons to go about and to fight the Philistine garrisons with. It says in verse 19 of chapter 13, now there was no smith found throughout all the land of Israel, for the Philistines said, lest the Hebrews make them swords or spears. But all the Israelites went down to the Philistines to sharpen every man his share and his coulter and his axe and his mattock. Yet they had a file for the mattocks and for the coulters and for the forks and for the axes and to sharpen the goads. So it came to pass in the day of battle that there was neither sword nor spear found in the hand of any of the people that were with Saul and Jonathan. That is pitiful. There's nothing in their hands but pitchforks and axes and some things that they can muster up and have to fight with. They have nothing in this army. It's only, it says here, Saul and Jonathan. But with Saul and with Jonathan, his sons, was their found. Now they had a sword and they had an armor bearer. Each of them did, Saul and Jonathan. And now go back over to chapter 14. So I just wanted you to see here, they're in desperate straits here. They are outnumbered by the Philistines. Saul and his men, he didn't have very many men to help him in this battle, but what they did have was the God of Israel. Amen. God was with the people of Israel, and God wanted to help the people of Israel. But God was looking for the man, Saul, at the time, who was anointed king, who God has blessed, who God has poured His Spirit upon, whom God has rested upon to go and to fight for Israel. His son Jonathan was one as well who was to me a man that was faithful. We find this in Scripture because I see this when we see such a man as he is. As we see in verse 4 following in chapter 14, there was a passages that Jonathan had to go through. He sought to go over, verse 4, unto the Philistine garrison. There were sharp rocks on one side and sharp rocks on the other side. And the name of the one was Boaz and the name of the other Sina. The forefront of one was situate northward over against Michmash and the other southward over against Gibeah. And Jonathan said to his young man, the armor bearer, come and let us go over to the garrison of these uncircumcised. Here this man, Jonathan, reaches out in faith, believing God is able to be with him and to strengthen him. It didn't matter because he says to him, for the Lord is able, for there is no restraint with the Lord. I like that. God is not holding down. God is not pushed down. God is not restricted. I like that. In any manner when it comes to fighting for God's people. Amen. When we think back about how God, through Moses, led the people of Israel through the Red Sea, brought them out of Egypt, brought them through with His mighty hand outstretched, there is nothing that is impossible with God. God showed His mighty hand to those of Moses and those of the Israelites, and how He delivered them through His power and through the demonstration of His power through all the plagues that came upon Pharaoh and all those around. God was with him. And yet still we find that when they were in the wilderness, here Moses, through the direction of God, told Moses to send out 12 spies. We know this. And they went out to search out the land. And they came back with a report. There was 10 that gave a bad report. And only 2 gave a good, encouraging, faithful, trusting, I should say, report to God. That was Caleb and Joshua. Both those young men were ready to go forth by faith, taking action. Man, they were ready to say, let's go. We are well able to take over into Canaan and the promised land that God has given us. That's the type of spirit we need today. We need Christian men and women today who say, we are well able, praise God, to go over into the land that God has given us. There is nothing that our God cannot do for us. And we need to remember what God has done. The problem is we forget what God has done for us. And then we begin to languish back in our old mind of the things how we used to have it. And then we are not able to do what God wants us to do. But it's amazing here when I see Jonathan, a young man, by himself. You know, he has a few men with him, I'm sure, when he was there. He wasn't with his father at the time. His father was over at McMash. But he was there with probably some men of his own. But instead, he says to his armor bearer, come. I mean, amazing to me. Just Jonathan and one man. He says, come, let's go over to the garrison. Let's go up and approach these Philistines. Let's discover ourselves, or let's make known ourselves to this group of Philistines, that God can help us and that we can fight against them and we can destroy them. Hallelujah. He was ready to fight for God. He was ready to go ahead with God. And this faith that he had, it's a catching faith, you know. Have you ever been around people that are faithful? I mean, that have faith and it just seems to ooze from them, you know. Have you ever been around those? They're so faithful and they're so much encouraged and they're so much want to go with God. And it's almost catchy, you know. You get around them long enough, he's like, hey, yeah, I'm with you, brother. I'm with you. Let's do this. Let's go. That's the type of people you need to be around. Praise God. We need to be around men and women like that. We don't need to be around those who are always complaining, always grumbling, always griping, never having faith, always doubting, but not Jonathan at this time. He had faith, and that faith went to his armor bearer. And I like that because notice what it says. His armor bearer, verse 6, said unto him, do all that is in thine heart. Hallelujah. Yeah. We need to have a heart after God. Right. We need to have a heart after God. Because when we have a heart after God, others are going to see that we got that heart and they're going to want to follow us. Right. Praise God. He says, do all that's in thine heart. Turn thee. Behold, I am with thee according to thy heart. Yes. I'm with you.
Right.
I'll go with you.
Right.
Let's go on up. Praise God. Well, you know the story if you've read it all. And Jonathan says unto his armor bearer, he gives a little sign for them, you know, to discover themselves to them. And it says in verse 11, and both of them discovered themselves unto the garrison of the Philistine. And the Philistine said, behold, the Hebrews come forth out of the holes where they had hid themselves. You see, they were no match for the Philistines. Philistines had all the armament. They had all the swords. They had a numerable host about them. They weren't at all worried about this little sect of the Hebrews. Because these folks were hiding in holes and caves. There was no threat from them. Amen. But you know when the threat comes is when God's people believe God. The threat will come when God's people stand by faith and want to do something for Jesus. Hallelujah. The threat comes to the devil is when God's people are ready to go out and to work and labor for the kingdom of God. That's when the threat comes to the devil. He's not worried about these quote, quote, saints who want to sit down all the time and do nothing.
Right.
Hello. I mean, stay with me. Now, don't get upset with Brother Carl. All right? Don't get upset with me. But there is time that, and it's high time, praise God, that we go and do God's work.
Right.
Amen. The harvest is plentiful. The laborers are few. Pray to the Lord of the harvest, Jesus said, that He send forth laborers into His harvest field. I'm telling you, it is white unto harvest out here in the field. But God needs men and women who by faith will take action and do what God wants them to do. Go forth unto all the world, preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, declare the good news that Jesus Christ has forgiven sin. Hallelujah. We need to attack the devil's territory. Amen, church. Here, Jonathan and his armor bearer were ready to attack. They are ready to go up. They go up there, and these men says, oh, here they come out of the holes they've hid themselves. And in verse 12, and the men of the garrison answered Jonathan and his armor bearer and said, come up to us, and we will show you a thing. In other words, come on up here. We're going to whoop you. You come on up here. You too think you something? Come on up here. We're going to show you who's what. Okay, that's basically what they're saying. We are going to really do you some harm. So come on up to us, and we will show you a thing. And Jonathan said unto his armor bearer, come up after me, for the Lord, now listen, hath delivered them into the hand of Israel. Praise God, that's what we need. We need men and women that are going to say, glory to God, it is the Lord who is with us. It doesn't matter if it's one, two, if we are with God, He is with us. And we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Hallelujah. There is nothing that the child of God cannot do if he will put himself before God, humble himself, trust the Lord, lean upon His understanding, acknowledge God for who He is, trust the Lord that He will deliver you, and God will come and bring it to pass in our lives. Jonathan and the armor bearer, and they come up before them. They climbed up, it says in verse 13, with his hands and upon his feet and his armor bearer after him. And they fell before Jonathan and his armor bearer, slew after him. And the first slaughter which Jonathan and his armor bearer made was about 20 men. Two again. Praise God. You know, you would think they're way outnumbered. Of course they are. 20 against two. Come on. But it didn't seem to bother them. Do you see the faith that they had? Their God was with them. Their God was going to deliver them. Their God was going to give them to Israel. Hallelujah. They did not have any doubt. Hallelujah. They did not have any fear. Oh, praise God, because God was going to be with them. He showed them of His mighty hand upon them. They began to slaughter them, these men, 20 of them, within which was a half an acre of land, which a yoke of oxen might plow, it says in verse 14. And there was trembling in the host in the field among all the people in the garrison and the spoilers. They also trembled and the earth quaked. So it was a very great trembling. I want you to know God fought for them. Hallelujah. God was with them. Matter of fact, in verse 23 it says, so the Lord saved Israel that day and the battle passed over unto Beth-Aven. God put them on the run. God delivered them in the hands of Jonathan. Jonathan and his armor bearer did a great thing for God. I'm telling you, saints, we have got to have a mind ready, made up. We have got to be willing to serve the Lord. Hallelujah. It doesn't matter if the time is right or the time seems wrong. I want us to understand something. We need a ready, made up mind. Hallelujah. When circumstances seem to be against us, oh God, help me. And many times circumstances are against us. We seem to be alone sometimes, right? It seems to be tough against us. It seems to be like we are up against a wall and we can't push through it. Have you ever been there? Come on, I have been there. It's like I cannot climb over this mountain. It is too hard. We may not have the right resources among us to do anything. We might have the most inadequate things to help us with. But as the children of God, we have the right to call upon God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. To help us in our time of need. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16 declares, "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace."
Right.
It didn't say timidly. It says boldly. It make your way, run to it, get to the throne of grace. I tell you, when we come against circumstances that overwhelm us, when we come against a wall that's impenetrable, when we come against the resources, we have nothing, we can't go on anymore, it's time to approach God's throne with all boldness. I can hear Jonathan declaring before the Lord, "The Lord is with us! He has delivered Israel! Hallelujah!" And he goes out for the Lord and he fights. Hallelujah! Praise God, praise God. Woo! That we may obtain mercy, that verse says unto us, and find grace to help in the time of need. This time of need. Here, Jonathan and his armor bearer, through faith and their actions, found the grace to help them in the time of need. God will do that for us, church. When we need the help, when we're at the very end, as it were, when we're outnumbered, when we say things are coming against us, it is God that will supply the need of grace to help us that we can go through it. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Oh, church, take encouragement this evening. Hallelujah. In Psalms 46, verse 1, God says, "He is our refuge."
Right.
Woo! And strength. A very present help in what? Trouble.
That's right.
Woo! Glory to God. Is there anything that God cannot be with us in? When we come into the times of difficulty and trouble, it is God who is our refuge. It is God who is our strength. It is God who lifts us up. It is God who helps us to go through it. Amen, church. So this young man, Jonathan, helped his nation, praise God, the Israelites, to win a great victory for Israel and put the Philistines to flight through the help of God and God with him. Amen.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. I want you to know something. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9, God will supply grace for all of our needs, church. He will. Sometimes we think, "Oh, I don't know. When I get in a situation, Brother Cottle, I just don't know if I'm going to make it." Well, listen to me. Hey, that of Paul, the Lord told Paul, because Paul approached the Lord and requested three times that he would take this thing from him. But God's reply to the apostle was, "My grace is sufficient for thee." Woo! Glory. "For my strength is made perfect in weakness." My. So when you're out there the next time and you're overwhelmed and you feel inadequate and you have no way to, you think you can overcome, you remember when you are weak, then God is strong. Hallelujah. Sometimes I think we forget that. We forget the one who sits in heaven, glory to God, whose train fills the temple, hallelujah, who has all power and all authority in his might and in his hands, who has at his right hand blessings for all those who will humble themselves before his mighty hand. Glory to his name. I hope we can take encouragement from that of Jonathan. If you just go over, I don't want to stay there too long because I got a few more fellas I want to look at. Go to over a couple chapters with me. Chapter 17. 1 Samuel chapter 17. Young man by the name of David. Oh, praise God. David had three eldest sons. Jesse had three eldest sons by the name of Eliab, Abinadab, and Shammah. These were the eldest of Jesse's sons. And David was the youngest. In verse 14 it says, "And these three eldest followed Saul." Well, at the time, the Philistine army gathered again against that of Israel. And while they were gathered against Israel, unknowing to David at this time, because he was at home with Jesse his father, tending his flocks and taking care of things, while the armies of Israel were supposed to be fighting against the Philistines. But we find that David did not know that there was a champion that came out of Gath named Goliath, 9 foot something tall, a big man. I mean, obviously, he was huge, scary looking, I'm sure. I mean, any man that would look upon this guy, he was a warrior. He's killed many men by his own hands. He was something to be reckoned with. But this champion came out and he challenged Israel's army. He defied the God of Israel, mocking him, making fun of him. And David knew none of this. And he comes unto the camp because his father sends him to go see what's going on with the war. Take some cheese and bread and things. Take them to your brothers so they can have something. Bring me back word, you know, let me know how they fare. And here David comes upon the scene. And I want you to look here. In verse 22, David left his carriage in the hand of the keeper of the carriage and ran into the army and came and saluted his brethren. And he talked with them. Behold, there came the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, out of the armies of the Philistines, spake according to the same words, and David, what?
Heard
them. Ooh, glory. I want you to understand something about David before we go any further. David was a young man who tended God's sheep, who tended God's flock, who spoke with the Lord often, who played music unto his flocks and sang unto the Lord and calmed his sheep, I believe, and those of his flocks. And he spoke to the Lord often, and he had a relationship with the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. As a matter of fact, God looked unto David because David had a heart after God. We need a heart that follows after God. We need a heart that is sensitive to the Lord and to the leadings of God. We need a heart that is ready and willing to do what God wants to be done. David had this heart. At this stage in his life, he was totally committed to God. Amen. Loving Him, serving Him, doing, obeying his father, taking care of things as he should. What a good young man this man was. But David comes upon the scene and he hears the champion. And he hears what he has to say. And it disturbs David. Amen. How many times have we been disturbed when people come and say things and ridicule and make fun of our God? How many times when we have heard the name of the Lord blasphemed, or we've heard the name of the Lord misused, that it's troubled us in spirit? That troubled us enough that we want to do something about it. I'm talking about faith in action here. I'm talking about doing something by faith, believing God who is able to keep that which He has committed unto you against that day. Now, I tell you, I know right now any of us here, if they would say anything or we come up upon anybody who would say anything about our mama, our daddy, our friends, oh, we'd be quick to say something, wouldn't we? Come on now. We say, oh, wait a minute. You're talking about my dad. You're talking about my mom. That's fighting words now, buddy. You better take that back, you know. That's the way we would be. Oh, yeah, we'd be ready. We'd have our dukes up. Come on now. Who do you think you are talking about my parents? You don't know them. I know them. David knew his God.
Yes, amen.
And David heard this champion blaspheming against God. And notice what he does. And David, verse 26 says, and David spake to the man that stood by him, saying, what shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine and taketh away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? Woo! What faith! Hallelujah! Notice it, not a God of the dead, of the living God. Hallelujah. Amen. David knew his God. This is the young man who understood when his God was with him. This is the young man who knew when the bear came and the lion came and they snatched one of his sheep out from his flock. He was the one that chased after him. He was the one that grabbed him by the mane. He was the one that took back his sheep. Woo! Glory. You're not getting one of my sheep. Uh-uh. He's the one that would take that sling and that stone and he'd take care of the wild beast. There was nothing because God was with him.
Amen.
He's a good shepherd.
Yeah.
He took care of His sheep.
Right.
And now He hears that the armies of God have been blasphemed by this champion Goliath. And He hears it and He wants to know what's going to be done. Can I just insert here just a second? You know, where is Saul? Hello. Come on now. He's back in his tent. He's not even up at the lines. He's hoping somebody will come to the aid and stand up and take this man on. You know what's really comical about it? Saul stands a head and shoulders taller than any of his men. He's the one that should have taken charge. He's the one that had the anointing of God upon. Hello. He's the one that God chose. I mean, that the people chose and God allowed. Right? Come on. To go out, but no, not this Saul. Saul's hiding himself. Saul has not the faith nor the action to do what God needs done.
Right.
But David continues on, and it's interesting because Eliab, his eldest brother, hears David going on talking to the men, you know. David wants to know why. What's the matter with the army? What's the matter with you men? In other words, he's trying to encourage the men. Be men. Someone stand up. Someone take charge. Someone go out here and fight this uncircumcised Philistine. And let's just take care of business and kill him. Who does he think he is? I mean, he's being a good young man, full of faith. Amen. Full of action. Eliab, he didn't like it. He got angry and he told David, he says, "Oh, you are nothing but naughtiness in thine heart, you know. For thou art come down that thou might see the battle." What are you doing down here bothering everybody? Go back home. Get out of here. And David said, "What have I now done?
Yeah.
Is there not a cause?"
Right.
Woo! Is there not a cause, church, for us to be faithful unto Jesus Christ in this day and age? Is there not a cause that we should go forth and fight the good fight of faith and lay hold of eternal life? Is there not a cause that we need to share the gospel to all men and all people everywhere? Is there not a cause that we need to fight against principalities and powers of wickedness in high places? Is there not a cause that we need to serve God now?
Right.
Now is the accepted time.
Amen.
Now is the day of salvation.
Amen.
Now, right now.
Yes.
We need to wake up, hallelujah, as David, and be strong in faith and courage. Amen.
Right.
And he says in verse 32, David said to Saul, "Let no man's heart fail because of him." Listen to the faith of this young man.
Right.
"Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine."
Right. Amen.
Woo! Man, it's just exciting to me. I mean, all these men of war, all these men who were strong, all these men who were capable of fighting Goliath were fearful, as it were, retreating back in the lines, afraid because of what they see, afraid because of the fierceness of the man, afraid because he is a giant, afraid because they do not know God. That's why they're afraid.
Yeah, that's it. Come on,
they do not know God as they should. But those who know their God, hear me, church, will do great exploits for God. Those who trust their God, God is able to lift them up. Those who humble themselves under the mighty hand of God, God is able to lift them up and to set them upon the rock, which no man can take them off. I'm telling you, this young man went out. He says, "I will fight the Philistine." And Saul said to David, "Thou art not able to go against the fight this man. You're just a young man. You can't do it." And then he began to tell the story. Let me tell you something. "I went after the bear who got my sheep. I went after the lion who got my sheep. And I took him back from him. I'll do the same thing to this uncircumcised Philistine that I did to the bear and the lion."
Right.
Woo! Go. Saul says, "Fine, man." You see how faith and action kind of oozes over, you know? They're kind of like, "Wow, Saul hasn't seen such faith in all his camp." Come on now. Saul hasn't seen any faith like this in all his camp. All of them are afraid. This has been going on for 40 days.
Yeah.
He has defied the armies of Israel. My,
yeah.
They were cowards. No one would stand in the gap. No one would feel the hedge up. No one would trust God except a young man who knew that his God was great and his God was able to do what he could do. Amen. So he gives him his armor. That's not going to do any good. He tries to give him his shield, tries to put on his maul of armor and his helmet and stuff and strap a big sword to him. David says, man, come on. This stuff is too heavy and burdensome for me. It's not even tried. I don't use this stuff. You know, hey, hello, that's a sermon in itself right there, folks. We need to use what God has given us. We need to fight warfare, spiritual warfare, the spiritual way and not the carnal way. Amen. We need to fight the good fight of faith. Hallelujah. Pulling down strongholds by the divine power of God, not by the human effort of man. It is God's divine power that will crush the enemies that come up against us. Woo! Glory to God. So these things weren't tried to David. We know that. And he takes them off and he says, I know exactly what I need. Goes down to the brook, picks him up 5 smooth stones, gets his sling ready, and goes out to meet Goliath. Somebody better say amen. Praise God. I'm talking about a young man that has faith in action. He's not afraid of the giant. Amen. The Bible says the perfect love of God cast out fear.
Right.
David's love for God, David's love for God's honor kept him and kept him strong against the wiles of this uncircumcised giant. He goes out there and you know the story. I'm not going to relate all of it to you. But he basically tells that giant when he comes out to me, he says, what, they send a boy out to fight me? And the giant, you know, blasphemes again and talks about God, talks about, I'm going to feed your carcass to the birds. And David looks at him square. I can just see him. No, sir. Today, my God is going to deliver you into my hands. I'm going to slay you and I'm going to take your head from you. My. I'm going to feed your carcass to the birds and the fowls of the air. Boy, I can see both of them. The giant mad coming at him, you know, oh, that's it, man. I'm tired of this little runt. And all of a sudden, David takes that sling out, puts that one rock in it. Woo-hoo. Slinging around, lets it fly. That rock hit that giant between the eyes. Glory to God. That rock sunk in. That was the power of God, folks. Hallelujah. And it killed that giant. He fell face forward down in that earth. And David goes up there, takes his sword from the giant, takes it over to him, cuts off his head. Lifts up his head. I mean, this is, you know, for us today, we get skimmish over that stuff. You know, we're, you know, oh man, that, you know, that's battle. That's blood and nasty. But he takes that head up, and I can just see him raising it up to the arm. He probably raised it and looked it right at the Philistines. There's your champion.
Right.
Hello.
Right.
Faith in action.
Right.
Here's your champion. And then he probably turned around and looked to Israel. Here it is. Come on,
right.
Boys, it's time to get up. Woo-hoo. And all of a sudden, that faith produced action in the rest of Israel, and they put them to flight, and they slaughtered them as they went on their way. Faith in action.
Right.
A young man named David.
Yes.
Praise the Lord. Let me go to another one. Turn over to Daniel. Are you still with me?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Now stay with me. Hallelujah.
Oh, yeah.
While you're getting over there to Daniel, let me tell you something. Daniel chapter 3. Just turn over to Daniel chapter 3. Whenever God's children, whenever we face seemingly insurmountable problems, and we do now, church, we do. We can't help it. There are situations that come our way and we don't know what we're going to do with it. How do we face it now? What are we going to do? Seems like they're giants against us. But those giants can be overcome.
Yeah.
If we exercise faith.
Right.
Just like David did. He saw the situation. He saw the problem. But he exercised his faith.
Yes.
We have got to do the same thing. We've got to depend upon the power of the Holy Spirit.
Right.
Woo! Glory to God. Aren't you glad God sent His Spirit to us?
Right.
Amen. I'm glad God filled us with the power of the Holy Ghost. I'm glad God did not leave us comfortless. I'm glad, because you know, if God left us comfortless like that, you know what we'd be like? We'd be like a lot of the disciples that went a-hiding when Jesus got taken and abused and crucified. They were all out hiding, folks. But when the power of the Spirit came on Pentecost, there was no hiding any longer. It was the declaring of God's Word and God's glory. We need the Spirit to come on us. We need the power of the Spirit of God to be with us. Ephesians 3:20 says, "Now unto Him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh where? In us." This power, the Holy Spirit, worketh in us. Oh, to accomplish what God wants done. Philippians chapter 4 verse 13 says, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." It is the God that we serve who strengthens us. We need to rely upon Him, church, in all that we do. Hallelujah. In Daniel chapter 3, we've got Nebuchadnezzar in the fiery furnace. There's three Hebrew boys there. Their names have been changed, of course. Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego.
Yes.
These young men are show to us a great boldness of faith. These three young men were not frightened men in compromising their personal convictions. Amen.
Yes.
It's easy when pressure is put upon us, if we're not careful, to compromise. To do what we shouldn't do. And I'm telling you, when you had a king that tells you, if you don't bow as you ought to bow, that I'm going to throw your hide in a fiery furnace, that ought to make you compromise. Real quick. What? You're going to kill me and throw me in a furnace? Well, what you want me to do? Bow down? Yes, sir. You know? If we do not have enough fortitude and faith and stability And just a rock or an anchor down in our soul to believe that God is with us and God will not leave us, then we will be easily will we be our personal convictions just thrown out the window.
Yeah.
And we'll be able to, we'll just go ahead and bow down. But look at what these three young men do. It says unto them, if you go with me, just go with me to verse 17. "If it be so," they're saying, "our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And He will deliver us out of thine hand, O king." Woo! "But if not," listen to this, "be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up." Now that's faith.
Yeah.
That's faith in action. That is no cowardice here of these three men who stood up against the king. Oh, come on now. And I'm telling you, this king got hot. He was so hot his face was about to burst probably with a blood vessel. He got mad. He got angry. How dare these three young men in my province not to do what I command them to do?
Right.
Heat up the furnace seven times hotter. I'm so angry with these three, I want to make sure that they just become crispy critters. I don't know how else to put it, you know. I want that furnace hot. But I want us to see that these three young men, instead they gave bold and unhesitating witness to the allegiance of the one and the true God. Unhesitating allegiance. They weren't pushed away because of His decree. They weren't frightened because of the king's countenance and his anger and his command to heat up the furnace and to bind them and to make sure that they are cast into the burning fiery furnace. They were going to stay with God. True, the one true God. They had a hope, they had a faith, and were fixed on Him. who with God was their refuge and God was their strength. Hallelujah. We are living in a day and age today, church, where we need God as our refuge and our strength. We're going to come upon, I don't know, I really believe, and you can take this, you can either receive it or reject it, but we are going to come under persecution. I believe that in our day and our age, which we have never seen before. We have got to be able to stand unreservedly, not compromising our personal convictions in the Word of God, but trusting God, holding to Him as these three Hebrew boys did here. Not compromising our faith and our stand in Christ Jesus. I know whom I have believed in. Right? We are persuaded that He's able to keep that which we have committed unto Him against that day. I know whom I have believed in. It doesn't matter what comes our way, church. God is able to deliver us. Hallelujah. He was their refuge and their strength. They also knew the wrath of God against them. Amen. If they were disobedient, it was far more worse than what a human man could do unto them in the fiery furnace. Amen. We need to understand, we need to fear only one, that is God. We need to fear Him because He is able to destroy both body and soul in hell.
Amen.
This king could do nothing to them. Oh, he could end their lives, so to speak, their earthly life. But these three Hebrew men, they stood the ground. They stood the test. And I love their faith and their action that they told the king. And we know the story, what happens. And there in verse 24, Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished and rose up in haste and spake and said unto his counselors, did we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto the king, true, O king. He answered and said, lo, I see four men loose. Glory to God. I'm telling you, God honors faith. Hallelujah. God will be there when we need Him. He's our strength and our refuge. Praise God. We may have to go through the fire. We may have to go through the trials. We may have to go through the struggles. But if we stay in our conviction, if we stand in faith in God, and we believe that God will deliver us, and if He doesn't, God is still God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
But God comes in the midst of the fire. Glory to God. Can you imagine the time they had in that fiery furnace? Brother being thrown in there and not burning up.
Right.
Loose, their bands and ropes are loose from them. They're there in the midst with God. Ooh, glory. I don't know how God does all this. That's His business. But I know one thing, not one hair was singed. Their garments didn't smell like smoke. I don't know how He put that aura around them or whatever He protected them. But they were able to walk with Him and enjoy the presence of Him in the midst of the fire. And it was to the glory of God. It was because these young men had faith and their action and their faith delivered them because they looked unto the author and the finisher of their faith. They did not give in. Their allegiance was only to God. They had that hope and they had that faith that sustained them. Now I'm asking you tonight, what is sustaining you? What is sustaining us tonight? What sustains us? Is it our bank account? Oh, mine. Boy, if it's mine, I'm in bad trouble. You know? Is it my job that I have? Well, I can lose that any day. I mean, let the economy go bust and I'll probably be out of work anyway. It's not my job. It's not my money. Now, please hear me. And I say this reverently. I say this reverently. It's not even my church. Come on. It's my God.
Right.
That sustains me. It's my faith in Him.
Yes.
My hope in Him.
Right.
He's everything to me.
Yes, He is.
He is what keeps me. He is my refuge.
Right,
He is the one that we need.
Oh, yeah.
So, where are your convictions this evening? Where is your faith? Is it one like that of Jonathan's faith? That says, come, let's go on over. Let's go fight, for God will give us the victory. Is it one like David's whose heart was for God and for God's honor? How dare someone defy God? How dare someone just come out and defy God's people and God's army and God's nation? No, I'm going to stand in the gap. I'll be the one to go out by faith. I'll be the one to reach out and to declare that my God will deliver me this day. Is it like Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, who would not give in to personal convictions? Who would not bow the knee to Nebuchadnezzar? Who say, no, I am going to stand and I will not bow because there is only one true God.
Amen.
And Him alone will I serve.
Yes.
Is everybody getting tired?
Come on, go ahead.
Don't get tired on me. Don't get tired yet on me. There is one more I wanted to share, but I'll just share with you about it. You've heard the story, and that is with Elijah. And I'll make it short, because I know you're tired. You've been very patient with me. Elijah goes to Mount Carmel.
Yeah.
Elijah was a man of God, the prophet of God, the spokesman for God.
Yes.
Wow. Elijah was a man who had faith, who believed God. He's the one who told Ahab, it's not going to rain until I say so. He prayed and it doesn't rain. For three and a half years, it won't rain. He prays again, it will rain. He knew how to reach God. He knew how to converse with God and to touch God. And he saw what was happening to Israel, and he saw what Ahab and Jezebel and all that she was bringing with her prophets of Baal and the Baal worship, and how she was dividing Israel and how she was distorting the truth of God, and how they were serving Baalism and how they were serving an offering to things and drink offerings and idols and to the Baals and serving them. And finally Elijah says, enough, enough. He tells Ahab, you go and you get these prophets of Baal, all 450 of them. And then go and get the other 400 that sit around Jezebel's table. And you bring them here and get all Israel around.
What?
Praise God, church. Yeah. Hear me now.
Yeah.
And Elijah tells them, when he gets them all together, why halt ye between two opinions?
Right.
If God be God... then serve Him.
Yes.
If Baal be God, then serve Him.
Right.
See, the problem with Israel is they thought they could serve two deities.
No.
Uh-uh.
No.
Salt water and spring water don't mix together, church.
Come on, brother.
Come on now.
Come on.
The devil and God do not dwell together.
Right.
I'm telling you, this man Elijah got them together, and of course you know the story. And he says, how long are you going to halt between opinions? It's time to serve God. And he tells them, build you an altar. You know the story. They build their altar and they go around it. They dance and they parade and they scream and they cut themselves, and he mocks them. And I love that. Makes fun of them. Cry a little louder. He's probably gone on vacation somewhere. You know, your God, He doesn't hear you. Maybe, you know, on and on. I love how Elijah treats them. And then all of a sudden he says, enough of this. You've had plenty of time. The day's about gone.
Right.
Now let's let the real God do something. Tears down that old nasty altar then that they built up there. Puts in a brand new altar. Gets them out the stones and lines them the way they should be. Digs trenches around it. Fills them up with water. You know the story. Drenches the whole thing up. Everything's wet to make sure that no one can say this was a trick, you know, or this was not real. No, he wanted to make sure you people are going to see today who the real God is.
Right.
And then when he does it all, he just gives up a simple prayer to God. And he prays. And he calls for the God of heaven to show himself. And you know what happens. Fire comes down. I think it was a 63 word prayer. That wouldn't take a whole lot of time, church. Fire comes down, licks up the altar, licks up the sacrifice. Everything is gone. Wow. Everything. And the people say, God, He is Lord. Come on, church. The Lord God, He is God. Amen. Baal wasn't God. He couldn't do it. It was the Lord God. Men of faith. Men of action. Men that stood their ground. Men that knew their God and His great exploit. Men that have experience. Men that know who God is. My. And we know the story. He says, gather all them people up, them Baal worshipers. And they had a good execution. Praise God. They had a good slaying of the land. You got to get rid of this stuff. Amen. They were perverting God's people. And God helped Elisha to show them who the true and the living God is. Amen. Church, I'll close. God will help us. God will help you and me to show who the true and the living God is.
Right.
If we stand by faith, if we go out by action, knowing what the will of the Lord is. Amen, church.
Yeah.
Knowing that God is with us, that He is our refuge, that He is our strength, that He is our stronghold, that there is nothing that God cannot do. That God is with us. Stand with me this evening. Hallelujah. Our God is able to do great and wonderful things. If we become to be men like Jonathan, men like David, men like Elijah, men like Daniel, and Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. These men, there's others in the Scriptures I don't have time to go to tonight. There's so many who show by faith in action that their trust and reliance and dependence is upon God Almighty. We have got to have the same encouragement. We have got to have the same fervor. We have got to resist against sin. Amen. Do all that we can to follow God.
Right.
Hallelujah.
That's it, brother.
I hope I've encouraged you a little bit tonight. I hope you think about these things that I've shared with you.
Amen.
Go back and read the stories. Go back and look. Go back and see their faithfulness. Go back and see how they handled the situations. And how they came up against the king. And how they come up against armies. And how they come up against difficulties and obstacles. Because that's what we do. That's daily what we come up against. Oh, we might not be out there fighting armies right now. But I want you to know we're out there fighting principalities and powers and wickedness in high places. They are coming against us mightily. And they're coming against the church. And if we look, and I stay with the Old Testament mainly tonight because there's such good examples for us that we can look at and glean from and know how we ought to serve God.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
Our Heavenly Father, pray with me this evening. Heavenly Father, I ask that You would touch our hearts and our life, God. That, Lord, we be people that will be faithful. That we be a people that will show it by the actions that we do. That we will not just be people, oh God, who have actions alone, but faith with actions. Hallelujah. Oh God, let our spirit be alive within us. Let our hope be lifted up, dear God, in Jesus Christ today, who is the chief cornerstone. Hallelujah. Who, Lord, those who come against You, oh God, will stumble. Those who fight against You, oh Lord, will find themselves fighting against that of Jesus Christ and will not prevail because, God, You are stronger than all. Hallelujah. And, Lord, I ask You to be with Your church this evening to lift them up, God. To help them in their battles, to help them in their struggles, to help them in their difficult hours, dear God, in the times that are difficult and hard for them, Lord, that You would show them that You are with them, that You have never left them, that You have never forsaken them, that You are their mighty God, their everlasting Father, their Prince of Peace tonight, that You will give them everlasting joy, God, when they by faith will go in action and do what You want done, that You will give them the joy of the Lord. Hallelujah. that you will come to the midst of the fiery furnace with them, dear God, when the heat is on, and Lord, when the pressure's on, that they will stand firm in their convictions, firm in their faith, firm in their hope, firm in the love of Jesus Christ, God. And I ask it in your wonderful name tonight, Jesus. Go with them tonight, God. Strengthen them through this week. Fill them with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Let them know that the joy of the Lord is their strength, dear God. And let them not worry. Let them not fret. Let them not be so concerned about the things and the troubles of life, dear God, knowing that you are with them and you have never left them. We love you tonight, Jesus. We thank you for your goodness to us, God. Hallelujah. Amen. Be like the Hebrews. The Hebrews, Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego.